Hey friends, welcome back. So I don't know about you, but for me, like this week hit hard. This is one of those weeks where I just felt like it kept evolving and going in a direction that I didn't want it to go. I think of the extra 30 days that we now have, that for social distancing for me, that one's a punch to the gut. And I also think about, like for you kids, I think about the seniors especially. Your school year has evolved to something that you did not see coming. None of us did. You know, and you all the students, you got news this week that you're not going back to school this year. And I imagine for some of you, like, that's your safe place. That's where you thrive. And my heart just aches for you as you're left to figure all of this out. So our world right now is throwing us a curveball, and we're left to wonder, like, where do we swing on this thing? It is not easy. And I keep thinking about, yeah, our world's changing. And even on a Sunday, if you're watching this on a Sunday, your Sundays are completely different. I imagine that you would get up and you would get ready and you make a pot of coffee. Or for you kids, like you'd get up, you get some breakfast. And that was your routine. And then you'd come to church that you thought was on time, and you would show up at Jamestown Harbor Church 5 minutes late because that's what everybody does. So maybe that will change. I don't know. Maybe when we get back into it, that's one thing that will shift to you being on time. I don't know. I'm not throwing shame your way. I just think it's funny. But our routines on Sunday, for a lot of us, they look different now, don't they? I think about you kids, like you would run in to the lobby and you'd see your friends and you'd go grab a cookie or you'd go grab that juice or a hot chocolate, and then you'd run to your rooms and you'd learn about Jesus and you would sing about Jesus. And those songs we would hear from parents, that you would actually sing those during the week. And I love that. And you'd get some candy. Don't worry. Like, your parents know about the candy. They're okay with the candy, I think. But yes, you would get a ton of candy. And I think about us adults, you know, for me specifically, I loved seeing you all walk through the door. Friends that I've been friends with for a long time, and I also think about those that I met for the first time, like that are new to the church, that would walk in and not really know anyone, and I'd go up to you, and it was just this fun time of getting to know somebody new that's taken a step towards Jesus. And it just warmed my heart. And I think about us adults that we would walk into the gym and we would hear worship songs. And we'd hear somebody give us a message. And that fed us. And so what I'm wondering right now is, your Sundays look completely different. And yet, we're still listening to a video. We're still listening to songs. And we're still trying to help people find their way back to God, and that includes ourselves. What does it look like for us to grow in our relationship with God? And if we look back to when it was normal, when we would go to church, what did that look like? Like, how back in that day did you find yourself growing closer to God? What were some ways that you did that? And I want to take a minute and I want you to talk with those that you're watching this video with. I want you to go ahead and talk about that and answer that question. What were some ways that when you went back, when everything was normal, when you went to church or during the week, whatever that looked like, how did you grow closer to God? So go ahead and take a minute to do that. Welcome back. So I'm wondering, out of all the ways that you answered that question, are some of those still possible? I imagine some are, and I imagine that some aren't. And that's what I want to dive into today. The fact that we can't gather has us kind of figuring all of this out, kind of on our own. And maybe when we grew closer to God, we relied on somebody giving us a message, or we relied on somebody playing an instrument or singing a song. And those aren't bad things, but if we solely rely on those things, on somebody giving us a message or on somebody playing us a song, when that's stripped away, what are we left with? And if there's one thing that I know about our God, a God that's love is so deep, is that he can change anything. He can use a global pandemic. He can use something that's so sudden and so impactful that he can use that for us to know more about ourselves, to know more about our relationship with God, to see beauty in what he's able to create. The light of the world, when we think about this, is exactly what happens when everything's stripped away and we rely on him. And what we're going to do today is we're going to look at a story that people were trying to figure it all out, okay? That it was different for them. And so we're going to be in Luke 10, and let me just kind of set the stage for you. Today is Palm Sunday. If you're watching it on Sunday, it is Palm Sunday. And I asked my boys, what does that mean? And for my son Alex, I loved how he answered it. And what he said is, this is when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, and people put coats down, and they waved palm branches, and they sang Hosanna. I'm like, dude, you nailed it. Like, that is a really good answer. Good for you. But it's true. Like, people were trying to figure it all out, and they saw Jesus, and they received hope. But before he went into Jerusalem, he had to make his way there, right? And that is where we find ourselves in Luke 10. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Luke 10. I'm going to read through it. And something that I learned when I was getting into ministry is the importance of questions, the importance of asking question after question after question. Even if you feel like it's not the wisest question, ask a question, because after I get done reading it, what I'm going to ask you to do with those that you're listening to this with is I want you to ask as many questions about the scripture that we just read. Okay? Can we do that? All right. So in Luke 10, it starts out, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lamb among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. Okay, so take a moment, open it up to Luke 10, and with your friends, with your family, with whomever you're with, ask as many questions as you can, and then come back. Okay, welcome back. These are the kind of times that, like, I just want to be with you in your presence and hear about your questions, and I can't, and it's killing me. Maybe you can email me. So do that. I would love to know your questions on this scripture. And also, kids, if you think that you're not equipped to do this, Jesus actually says, if you humble yourselves like these little ones, then you have a place in heaven. And what he's saying, if you care and you have wonder and curiosity in a heart that is pure like you, you can ask these questions, and your questions oftentimes are the best questions. So do not think that you are excluded from this. I would love to know your questions too. But I wonder, okay, the questions that you came up with, was one of them, why did Jesus send the 72 ahead? Why did he send the 72 ahead of him? There's something there. There's something intentional about what Jesus did about sending the 72. And if we dig into it, okay, we also have to realize that if he sent the 72 ahead, that means that he was gathering with the 72, that they were all together at one time. Sound familiar? On a Sunday morning, like when we're all together, we are all together. But Jesus sends the 72 two by two ahead of him, disperses them. And if I'm thinking through this and asking the question about what would it be like to be one of the 72, I feel like I would just be left to figure it all out. Because if you think about it too, he's on his way to Jerusalem where he'll eventually hang on the cross. So it's not safe to follow Jesus at this time. There are people who want to hurt Jesus. So if they're left to figure it out, they're also left to figure out that this is not a safe proposition. This is not a safe request, that they are to go ahead and talk about Jesus, whom people don't like very much. And so they're left to figure it out. And so here's what I'm wondering, is if the thing that we need to figure out is that we don't need to solely rely on one person, on one band, on one day for us to grow closer to God. Because if I think back to the 72 that he sent ahead, they had to figure it out. Right? They couldn't rely on Jesus at that time when they go and greet somebody and they stay in somebody's house and they ask them questions about Jesus. They can't turn around and say, Jesus, can you answer this? In fact, they have to rely on their own. And so church looks different right now, right? But the important part of this story that I think we could all learn from is that they took steps ahead, that Jesus sent them ahead because he wanted them to proclaim the good news. They wanted them to act a certain way that would allow people to say, hey, there's something different. This isn't just a Sunday thing. There's something different. Like, you're coming in and hanging out with me, which we can't do right now, but you're calling me maybe on the phone and you're asking me how I'm doing. You're sending me a card. You're driving by and you're waving, whatever it might be. There's something different about the way that you're interacting with me. Could that be because you follow Jesus? Could it be because you care about Jesus? Could you create something in your neighborhood that allows people to see a kindness and a compassion and a gentleness? Is that something that you're able to do? If you keep reading, what happens with the 72? What happens when they return? Because they do return. And if you keep reading through your Bibles, like, you're probably wondering, like, they went out and they talked with a bunch of people and they came back. How did they come back? What was it like? Were they down or were they up? Were they joyful or were they unhappy and angry? Well, we get to find out. So in verse 17, okay? In verse 17, listen to how the 72 return. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And Jesus replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice that you believe in me. Rejoice that you will be with me for eternity. At that time, Jesus, full of joy, listen to this, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them, get this, I love this, revealed them to little children. Yes, Father. For this is what you were pleased to do. I love that. Ask questions. Why? If you want to find out how Jesus felt about you kids, you children, go ahead, ask a bunch of questions and go ahead and do some research. Man, he had you way up here. But I feel like we are left to figure this all out. And maybe the thing that we are left to figure out, here's where I want to just bring it all into one. Maybe the thing that we are left to figure out is that we don't need to rely on one person or one band. But maybe we can rely on ourselves to look towards a relationship with God, to look towards a relationship with Jesus, to take those steps ourselves, to learn more. Maybe it's when you read the Bible, you start asking a bunch of questions and you start doing some research, whatever that might be. Maybe church looks different now, and maybe it propels us to be sent ahead in a way that gets people to see what good news looks like. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, I thank you so much for the opportunity to come into the homes of my friends. God, that we get to learn more about you. God, that you invite us, even in the midst of all this chaos and all this uncertainty, that we are left to figure this out. But God, maybe what we need to figure out is that you never leave us. In fact, you invite us into a relationship in different ways. God, through that uncertainty, God, I pray that we feel your presence because you are with us. And God, for those that don't know what it looks like to have a relationship with you, God, I pray for opportunities that we can be your hands and feet, even if we can't meet, God, that we can do that for them, that we can show them what love, what your love looks like. And we pray all this in your son's name. Amen. So what we learned this week is that we are left to figure some of this out, but we also realize that we're not alone in this. And when we figure this out, what we might come to the conclusion of is that our relationship with God can look different and that we don't need to rely on one day to bring that. But that we can show people Jesus, we can show people the love of Christ, we can show people what it looks like to follow Jesus in a new way, which is exciting and hopeful. And if I think about what we're leading up to in Easter, it makes a whole lot of sense, doesn't it? That there was death of one thing and that there's a resurrection of something else. Some hope, some love. So I want to offer this blessing to you as we go into our new week. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.